Uh-oh, is that on?
We're starting at.
Jarring, the meat is on.
Don't try to find my school board election.
All right.
Don't even ask.
Welcome, everyone. Like to call the meeting of the Executive Committee to order, Tuesday, May 8th. We have with us today, we have Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Weiner, myself, and my aide, Grant Firestone, taking notes. Moving on to item two, do we have a motion to approve minutes from the meeting April 24th?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on, number three, designation of Personnel Committee and Co-Chair. As we discussed last week and gave a full 2 weeks for comments, Grant is circulating our new committee and co-chair list, which under our rules, I need to propose and have the council bless the committee co-chair. So what this does is it officially designates the personnel committee having, it went from no chairs, as it was a combined executive personnel committee meeting, to being the personnel committee, being a standalone committee with Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Sheldon being the co-chairs. Councilman Weiner.
Point of information. To be consistent with our rules, we should either have discussed at the previous meeting or had it put it out in writing at the previous meeting, i.e. are we being consistent with our meeting rules if we were to vote on it today?
We discussed it, we mulled it over, we threw it out, we put it open for public comment. We, as a matter of fact, there was a motion or was going to be a motion to approve it at last meeting.
Okay.
So to make sure that we were operating within the full spirit of full and fair disclosure, we waited to this meeting to confirm the discussions that we had at last meeting and give another additional opportunity, another 2 weeks for public comment.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Councilman Hollins has joined us. Thank you. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
And I just to go back to that, one of the things discussed then was that the decision needed to be made if this was going to be a standalone committee and not have, I mean, understanding that anything comes back to the full council, but not have it go back because the personnel was always under the president. We don't want to have to do something and then have the president bless it before it comes to council. So it would be just like any other committee.
Standing committee.
Right.
Okay. Motion to adopt the committee co-chair assignments effective 5/8/12 as distributed.
Second.
Any discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
All right. The committee co-chairs are
too late.
are approved, and thank you very much to Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Sheldon for stepping up and accepting this role and for their recommendations for the adoption of this separate committee. Thank you for your work putting this together, and good luck.
Do we need to do an ordinance or amended pay plan for those three?
Yes, you do. Because it's double what they weren't making before.
Is this the state legislature?
It's like zero plus zero is still zero.
All right, moving on to item number four. These are handbook changes. And again, we had discussed these changes 2 weeks ago at our committee meeting. And there had been proposed amendments at that time, but again, we thought in light of making sure they were operating in the most transparent manner possible, we put them out, we recirculated the proposed changes, we made sure that they were blacklined instead of just changed, so everybody had the opportunity, so the public had the opportunity to comment on these changes, and I do not believe we received any negative comments on these proposed council handbook changes. Councilman Swine.
I apologize, I wasn't here for me. I just had one question to part of council. Is this just to bring our handbook in uniformity with the rest of human resources book for the rest of county employees?
6.6 is it's a housekeeping measure.
Okay.
Could you please state your name for the record?
Betsy Gardner, Council. These were inconsistent with HR policy, which is what we follow for security. It's just something that council found.
Motion to adopt the changes to council handbook section 6.6 as distributed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The change to council handbook section 6.6 has been approved. Moving on to item 4B, change to council handbook section 3.9, harassment 3.10, reporting procedure for sexual and other forms of harassment. Again, we discussed this at our committee meeting 2 weeks ago. These changes have been recommended by our council to council as an update on this policy. Again, I believe we circulated the full black line, make sure we had all comments, and make sure we knew of all changes, and give us 2 weeks to look that over before we came back and voted on it today. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. Again, I apologize, I wasn't here for discussion. I have reviewed this thoroughly, and I'll just say, as someone who jokingly refers to himself as one comment away from a charge, I have no problem with this whatsoever.
I
would actually make a motion to adopt it as distributed.
Second. Any discussion on the motion, which would be our change to our handbook section 3.9 and 3.10? Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Can I just make a very light comment on this? I just found this interesting. I have a six-year-old grandson who's in kindergarten, and one of the specials in kindergarten now is guidance. And what they're teaching them in guidance is that if somebody gives you two bad options, that's threatening. So I think if we all just kept that in mind with harassment and everything else, we would have the whole thing covered. If a six-year-old can do it, I would think council might be able to.
All right. Equating six-year-old behavior to council behavior. All right.
Two bad options.
Two bad options.
You set a high bar.
Well, this came in the context of when his father was giving him two options on what he could have for snack before he went to bed, and both were bad
Carrots
in his mind.
Celery.
Yes, both were bad in his mind, so his father was threatening him.
All right. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, we have a motion to approve the changes to the handbook as circulated in section 3.9, 3.10. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The changes have passed unanimously. Let the record show, the record may already show that Councilman Hollins is here, but if not, he joined us some time ago, and Councilman Tackett is also here.
I was there at the beginning.
All right. Fantastic. And everybody that was here is still here. Moving on, changes to council rules, agenda item 5. This is discussion of the revised council schedule and changed rule 4.1. Consistent with our other discussions, we also brought this up 2 weeks ago to make sure that we had a full vetting of the proposed schedule, because it is something that it is a change. We had a discussion that this was in accordance with state law, but we required a rule change so that we would specify that we were meeting on every second, fourth Tuesday, except when there's a holiday, weather, etc. And we may change those council meetings by majority vote of council, advertised in advance as required by law. We've done that. We've circulated this. I've again not received any negative comments. We've received only positive comments at last hearing. Any council member have any questions or comments on the proposed scheduled changes?
I just wanted to say we need to vote on the proposed rule change as well as the proposed schedule. So it really should be two votes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I can go ahead and put the calendar.
Okay. So we need to adopt the rules first. So we can adopt the calendar in accordance with our newly adopted rules.
Motion to adopt the proposed rule change to 4.1.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any further discussion by council? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Rule 4.1 is amended as proposed. Next up, we have the revised schedule. This revised schedule takes away one of the off days in August, moving up to August 21st, all committee meetings, instead of having those be on the 28th. And we do that so we can take off both September 11th and September 25th, as one is primary day, the other is Yom Kippur, and still maintain our every other week council meeting schedule. Does any member of council have any questions or comments on this proposed schedule?
Motion to adopt the modified calendar is submitted to council.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion from council members? Seeing none, any discussion from member of the public? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the revised schedule?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Reflect all in favor. Let the record reflect that Councilman Bell is also in attendance. Yeah. Councilman Weiner.
Yeah, I would just like to thank council for recognizing, as Councilman Hollins often says, there are different aspects of diversity, and this rule change respects another aspect of diversity. I appreciate that.
Moving on. Well, I'm sorry. Yes,
and Mr. What are those dates again?
We'll give them to you, but for reference, we are meeting as a council on August 21st, all committee meetings and council. On the 28th, we'll be committee meetings. September 4th, will be committee meetings and council. September 11th, off primary day. Mm-hmm. September 18th, all committee meetings and council. And September 25th, off for Yom Kippur.
Thank you.
All right.
One other comment.
Councilman Weiner.
I'd like to thank Betsy Gardner for coming up with both an elegant and a very simple solution.
Elegant. That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And it really makes a lot of sense, and it keeps our every other week meeting schedule. So thank you for doing that. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, moving on. 5B, proposed change to Council Rule 9.1, conduct at meetings. This is proposed by Councilman Thackett. I'll turn the floor to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my intention, hopefully, to discuss this, and we'll vote on it today. We had sent this out, you know, earlier, and hopefully met all the, you know, guidelines to the advertisement with it, and sent the whole verbiage out, you know, with the whole change to yourself and your aide, and we had Betsy and Carol in it. What this does is it gives, in my view, the public that's coming out to address us back their voice. What we've seen a little bit in the past is some people have showed up and tried to potentially stack the meeting with speakers that were just there to defer their time to them, therefore, you know, taking the opportunity for the public that has come out, you know, to address us. It pushes them off on their ability in order to address us, and something that we really haven't done in the past. And I feel like, and you know, obviously six more majority has to agree with me, but I feel if somebody has something to say, I want to hear them say it. By deferring their time, I'm hearing what that individual has to say to us, not what the person deferring the time has to say to us. So I'd like to see us get away from the practice of allowing people to defer their time. I think it even creates a bit of a hardship on, you know, trying to figure out how much time have they deferred, how much time the person has, and everything else that's going on with it. So I think we need to get back to the fact of hearing from the public. If the public has something to say and they want to address us, then that's what they're here for, and that's what they should be doing.
Thank you, Councilman Taggart. I appreciate that, and I know we've had some discussions about this in the past, so thank you for bringing that up. Responding to your position on this issue, I appreciate that. I'd have to take the contrary position, though, that there's denying any opportunity to anyone. As a matter of fact, we're making sure that everybody does have the opportunity to speak. In the current framework where people can defer time, they still have to come to the podium and present their name and make any comments they wish to make or cede their time. Now, again, the reason and the rationale behind that is there could be a 15-minute presentation, and then you'd have to break it up. And one person could read 3 minutes, the next person read 3 minutes, the next person read 3 minutes, so that every member could have an opportunity to be heard. And instead of lending their voice by reading, letting the most qualified person, if they so desire, at that public commenter's desire, cede their time to a person that can present the best argument the most efficiently, and then be able to answer and respond to questions, again, in an efficient manner. I know it's it might seem a little distracting, but at the end of the day, as far as the public's time and the council's time, every member of the public who wanted an opportunity to speak received that, and we actually received the information in a concise manner and at a, in a less time period than it would have taken to have these individuals all take 3 minutes to read a separate part. Again, that was the purpose. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's without its drawbacks. But I think it's in situations where we've had to bring it out, where there's been this overwhelming public comment, it seems to have served us well by providing us a concise picture of some very complex issues. The other issue that I would be concerned with this rule change is that it would be up to the body at that point in time at the meeting. So the public wouldn't know in advance. When there were these issues before, we stated the ground rules at a meeting in advance. So the public came in advance knowing whether they could cede their time or not. Well, the public member could go to a meeting now under the proposed rules and say, well, I want extra time. And if the council voted that night, they could get extra time. Or if they voted no, then they wouldn't have extra time. So we're not setting the ground rules in advance of the public hearing. So the person may have 3 minutes, they may have 5 or 8 or 10 or 12. Again, I appreciate the intention of the rule. I appreciate you bringing it forward. I just didn't see a problem that this would necessarily address that would outweigh the benefits of the system allowing other people to speak. So I appreciate you bringing this forward.
And too, you know, I appreciate your point of view on it, you know, and, you know, that's why we're here. We're all right. Unique and individual, and we're all going to have that and share it. I just offer them back. It allows somebody to manipulate the system because they've preconceived how they were going to do this, and they brought people here that, you know, they're going to stack, you know, in order to add them more time in. And it just doesn't seem fair to the individual who came out, you know, and didn't bring 10 friends with them to get up there and, you know, and, yeah, they could have looked into it. But this rule change does keep the rules consistent. It's like anything. The majority of council can change anything at any time. So we can suspend the rules at any time and let one speaker speak for 10 minutes. So this, when I had council to council drafted, it actually does change the rules to say this is the policy from now on, unless we vote to change it, which we can do at any time anyhow.
Right. Again, thank you for that point of view. It narrows our opportunity to be flexible and to provide that advance notice is my concern with that. And, you know, if we're worried about stacking the deck, you can bring people to stack the deck and read, you know, a 3-minute presentation that somebody else wrote. So it doesn't really, you know, prevent or prohibit, quote, stacking the deck. It still allows that, but, you know, you'd have somebody reading instead of speaking knowledgeably, you know, on the subject matter. So that's why, you know, if we limited that in advance and only if, you know, council changed those rules at the meeting, it seems to be a little bit more restrictive on our ability to hear things in a concise, coherent manner. Councilman Cartier, then Councilman Weiner, Councilman.
I was kind of taken aback when we had this. To me, it was a new quirk, and I wasn't really aware that we had the ability to defer time to other speakers. Is that actually in the rules?
It was a practice.
To answer your question, it's not in the rules. So therefore, it's
so when they came to the podium and requested to defer their time, it's not defined by any policy or rule.
No, it's not limited. If this rule change would limit that.
I'm not talking about this rule change. Sorry. I'm talking about the practice which developed around one issue where the public came up, deferred time to other speakers. To me was striking in that. And I allowed it. I was fine, okay? But for one instance, we kind of got into a whole new realm where public testimony could be shaped this way, and there is no rule or policy defining that. So, you know, Councilman Tackett's trying to bring some definition to that issue, which kind of had no definition in my mind. You know, and I just wanted to make that observation.
We had Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Smiley, and Councilman Holmes.
Thanks. This is a fine example of council being able to exchange ideas. My perspective is I'm very concerned that the community would be put at a great disadvantage if this rule were adopted. Land use issues are complicated. They have many facets. They don't really resolve themselves down to 3 minutes. And not everyone in the community can become an expert. A developer, an applicant, can take a half an hour to develop a very detailed argument. And then the best, most well-spoken leader of the community has 3 minutes to address those points. I don't think it's fair to the community. I don't think it's fair to county council. I think it puts the community at a terrible disadvantage. So my personal perspective is that, you know, I don't want to support this. Additionally, I feel that my reading of the Robert's Rules of Order is that unless something specifically addressed, then Robert's Rules of Orders permit the chairman of the meeting to make certain discretionary votes. Having said that, if we speak and council decides to make a specific rule on this, then there'll be a policy going forward. I just can't support it, but I respect the maker of the proposed rule.
Thank you, Councilman. And I think we already had Councilman Bell introduced for the record. If we didn't, Councilman Bell again, and Councilman Sheldon.
Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
I think Councilman Collins presented me right. I'd like to yield it because I have a question I believe Councilman needs to answer.
Councilman Hollis.
Hopefully she'll be
good. You want me to go before you?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm waiting.
Oh, okay,
I need to ask Councilman a question.
Sure.
I believe. If she's not here, then I'll yield.
She doesn't like to have the word.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
I
support the rule as being suggested by Councilman Tackett. It seems to me that a lot of things happened differently when we did the rezonings and so forth in Barley Mill that had not happened until that time. And I can understand people wanting to do that, but I can certainly understand Councilman Cartier's point as well. For the time I've been here, it was the first time I'd seen it, doesn't mean that, you know, I can't embrace something new. But I think to suggest that someone who's invested in the process as an applicant, to assume that, you know, everyone who comes to speak against the application is going to have the same amount of time, I don't think that's the intent here. And then the other part, I think that if you're going to have 15 people show up and divert their time to the expert, you know, everybody who comes to our land use committee meetings, in my opinion, consider themselves the expert. So to do that, it just seems to me that you're coming forth with, I would say, a hard gun, basically to monopolize the meeting with the point of view, reading everybody's mind. And I don't think that's what the three-minute rule is set up to do. The discretion is left with the president. If someone have a point to make that is worthy to the discussion, that you can give them extra time. But to suggest now that we're going to allow one individual to have 35 or 40 minutes, the so-called expert, I just don't think that's what the public comment time was meant to do. It's meant to give everyone, whether they're considered an expert by me or anyone else, that opportunity to present their views. And if the expert is the expert, then let the expert condense the expert opinion in 3 minutes and move on. So I just think this whole new kind of approach we took to this does not serve the public well. I think what it does is provide some particular opportunity to try to take advantage of the three-minute rule by stacking all these minutes to an individual that's supposed to be the expert, the hired gun, to come in to support or to argue against whatever application is on the table. So I agree with Councilman Tackett. We didn't need it before, and I just don't see a great need for it or the harm that the three-minute rule is creating, that somehow all of a sudden the public doesn't have a chance to speak. I just can't buy into that logic.
Thank you, Councilman.
Advance notice would be like the advance notice now. Before the speakers come, just cite what the rules are. You got 3 minutes, like we always have done. And that's the advance notice that we've always lived with.
Thank you, Councilman.
Okay, Dave, I apologize. I'll put the question out. Maybe you can answer it. If not, well, I'm just looking for clarity because I'm reading. Here she comes. The timing's perfect. I need to get some. You can talk to her.
Pardon me?
You can talk to the president or. Okay, yeah, I'm waiting on you to come back. I wanted to ask, get some clarity on that on the question, that's all.
Yes, sir.
On the 9.1.2, I just need some clarity, beginning with a speaker, where it says, the way I read it, a speaker may not yield time to another speaker unless authorized by basically the president and the majority of council. But then when it goes on, It says, in which case the opportunity yield time should be granted to all public speakers. So if we approve it for one, it automatically carries to all. That's the way I read it. I'm just trying to clarify to make sure we don't have to vote on each person that asked for it. If we grant it to one, then it's automatically goes to everyone.
Carol Dillon, Council to Council. Yes, Council Member Smiley, you are correct. And the reason for that is that you cannot distinguish or set different rules based upon the content of speech. And the current rule, I just made a copy of it to refresh my memory. If you don't have it before you, states that unless otherwise waived by the presiding officer, all public speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. So this changes that to be unless otherwise waived by majority council. The reason, again, Council Member Smiley, that it can't be changed for each speaker is it could be construed to be based on you like what they say or don't like what they say.
I agree. It began with a member and then went to the plurality of it. So I just wanted to clarify that. And this would be, let me. I don't want to make assumptions. For the remainder of the meeting, it's not on a specific issue, or can that be determined at council that it's on an issue only?
Councilmember Smiley, I believe that it could be the Carol Dillon Council. I believe that it could be determined on an issue by issue basis. According to the current rules, the problem with that, however, is that somebody could assert that the subject isn't popular or there's some reason that council changed its mind on a particular issue. It would not be my recommendation that we change according to what issue.
So the only point I'm trying to get clear for me is once someone stands up and asks that they be allowed to allot their 3 minutes to another speaker and council votes, then that becomes the precedent for the remainder of that meeting.
That is correct.
Okay, that's all I'm trying to clarify, so I understand. Thank you.
And to follow up, I think this rule highlights, Councilman Hollins, I don't know if it addresses one of your concerns I thought I heard you express earlier. The current rules do provide that unless otherwise waived, all public speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. So, just because somebody shows up and says they're an expert or proclaims to be an expert, we don't give them an extra. They're limited like everyone else is under this current rule as well.
Right.
Okay. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, then Councilman Tackett.
Thank you. I think this came about because I believe Councilman Weiner and I were both asked during Barley Mill if they could cede time to another person so that someone that was more knowledgeable would have a longer period of time. I know that I told them, and I'm pretty sure that Councilman Weiner told them also, that we were not sure that that could be done and that they needed to check with the president or with council to make that very clear ahead of time so that they could plan their strategy. This says that otherwise waived by the presiding officer and supported by the majority of vote members of county council. It doesn't say that vote has to be taken at that meeting. So what if somebody called ahead of time and said, can I set my rebuttal up this way? Can you, via email or something, go through council and see if they would permit it?
Carol Dillon, Council, under the Freedom of Information Act, that vote only could be taken in a public forum.
Okay. All right. So if they chose to do that, they would not know until the night of council, of night of speaking.
Carol Dillon.
Yes.
Council.
You could have just nodded.
That is correct.
Then it would have been
unless
a statement
there
rather than
is a committee meeting previous, or that such a vote would be taken.
Okay. And I guess I'm having trouble with that if we approved it at a meeting, that it would go for the duration of the meeting rather than the issue or the one ordinance that we were talking about. I would think that it would make more sense to say, okay, here's the Barley Mill vote. While we're on this ordinance, this is the protocol. And then we move to hospice, and we may not want everybody to cede their time, so I don't know why that would carry. I guess I understand that how can you be different for one than you can for the other, but if we're going to treat everybody exactly the same, then why are we voting on this at all?
I think we had Councilman Tackett and Councilman Hollins.
I was just going to add, quickly that, and we all are going to have different opinions, and we're sharing them here today. If we don't like the 3-minute time limit, then we need to increase it to 5. Mm-hmm. That's plain and simple. I have prided myself from day one of coming into office that everybody that I have an opportunity to oversee, especially in my district and in any meetings, will be treated fairly and equally. And I feel that succeeding time is a premeditated circumstances of events that somebody has set up to bring a bunch of people in that is not treating everybody fair and equally, because everybody might want to get up and speak 15 or 20 minutes, but they can't because they didn't bring a bunch of people in to say, I want to, defer my time to, Janet. So what this does is in my opinion only, because it's mine on, bringing it forward, and its genesis here is it's giving everybody the opportunity to speak and treating them equally and fairly. And like I said, if we don't like the 3-minute, we need to, either at the beginning of the meeting, vote to change the rule and suspend the 3-minute and give them each as much time as they want at the podium, and then you ain't suppressing anybody, or maintain it, or go to 5. But give everybody the equal opportunity to speak for the same amount of time. It's plain and simple.
Thank you. Councilman Hollins?
I have to repeat, I think it's pretty simple as well, as Councilman Taggart has said. But I think the issue, the concern that was mentioned by Councilwoman Kilpatrick, I think is exactly what Council to Council is trying to say. You can't say on the Barley Mill we can stack time, and then on the next agenda item you can't stack time.
Yeah.
So if you're going to stack the time for Barley Mill, you have to allow this time to be stacked for hospice as well. So every item on the agenda would be treated the same. That means that every item on the agenda, people can stack time for each item.
Oh, you set the rule for the meeting.
I'll go.
Oh, was your hand up before me? But then I guess I go back to, which then would be in support of this, then why would we ever change it? Because one council day you can speak, you can cede time and somebody can speak for 15 minutes, and the next council day, because 7 of us maybe don't care about an issue, would not vote to allow that to happen, then I think that I'm just not sure. I think it just has to be one way or the other. We either allow everybody all the time at every meeting to cede their time, or we don't allow anybody at any meeting ever to cede their time. I think that we're treating each issue differently by just virtue of 7 of us believing that we want to hear more, or we want to see more pressure put on something with one issue than with another.
Well, I think the president does have some discretion there to allow a continuation, but to have it in our rules that, we can just stack at this time, I think that's the only point Councilman Taggart is trying to address here, is that we don't, that will become the rule, and everyone will be treated by that rule. You got 3 minutes to speak. And when that changes, if the president decides to give a speaker a little bit more time, as the rules currently allow, then that could happen. But maybe I'm not understanding you.
Okay, Councilman Professor.
But the president, but now it's not, under this, it wouldn't just be the president. It would be 7 of us that would have to say, yes, we agree with him, or no, we don't agree with him. And if there's an issue in Councilman Bell's district, which is quite a ways from mine, quite a ways from yours, Mr. Weiner's, why would we care? I mean, just, theoretically, why would we care that he wants somebody to speak if we've maybe made up our mind how we want to vote? Do we need to listen to all of those people? Do we want to listen to all of those people? I think we're just getting very subjective when we do it this way. Not that I agree that it should or shouldn't be, but I see there's more that you're getting subjective, and right. I'm not sure that it's treating everybody equal if meeting by meeting we change our minds.
Then maybe what we need to do is to just go to hard three minutes. I mean, if the president is going to abuse the extension of another minute or two, then maybe that needs to be changed, taken out. But I can't envision the president allowing, if we have a rule that says 3 minutes and the president can allow more time, I'm assuming that the president is going to allow another minute or so. I don't think the president is going to allow 30 minutes. So I think that when you have one speaker under the system that we just recently went on, experienced, where one speaker can have in half an hour, I just don't see, I think treating everybody equal is giving everybody the 3 minutes, it's manageable, it's simple, and I think that has worked.
But then but we're kind of waiving that working by adding that through with council approval.
Well, then maybe that should not be in there.
But I think we could do that in the past.
Well, the discussion is, and it's kind of, it centers on, I think, Councilwoman Kilpatrick's point is, the presiding officer of a meeting, whatever that meeting is, whoever that presiding officer is, you know, has the ability to treat people fairly and offer, you know, and I've heard, I guess, a little frustration or whatever that we've mischaracterized giving people more time. People that show up only have 3 minutes. Every person that shows up at that meeting has 3 minutes. And there's no, you know, extra time for any one speaker unless that person who's entitled to their 3 minutes says, you know what, this person can speak better than I can. I'm here, I have a voice, I want to use my 3 minutes, but it's much more effective for me to give that 3 minutes to somebody else. And we're not granting any one person time. That person that came to the meeting and could speak on their own is saying, well, I would rather let my opinion be voiced by somebody who can present at the council in a more effective manner. Okay, just my opinion. Obviously, there are different opinions out there, but we're not giving public commenters more time on a side of an issue by ceding time. Every person that cedes their time has to be there and has the ability to speak that 3 minutes. So we're not creating a longer period of time or more or less public comment.
And I think my problem is not, I don't care either way. Everybody gets 3 minutes or you're able to cede your time. I don't have a problem with that. I think what my problem is that we all vote for the night. Like, well, let's look at the agenda. Now, what do we feel like tonight?
I
think that's where we're treating people differently.
And Councilman Tackett, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, Janet, did you have a chance to review what Council had given us?
Yeah.
Did you see where it says, unless otherwise waived by the presiding officer?
Right.
So that meant that could be done every night now. That's the council rule, but only one person was deciding that. The way we're moving into it now is it's still the same thing. It's just if the presiding officer decides to do it, six people have to agree with it. It's not just the presiding officer anymore. So right now, any night, any given meeting, you can stick to the 3 minutes, or the presiding officer can say, oh, tonight I like the speaker, I'm going to allow him to defer time. And that's their decision solely. Right now, that's how it stands. But moving forward, six people would have to agree with that presiding officer.
So, right, and I understand that.
And to address your concern, you're removing the authority from the presiding officer to make that call. You're removing that authority completely from the presiding officer to be able to make a determination that for the good of one councilmatic district, we should have something happen. And if the majority says, well, again, like you said, we don't have an interest in that issue, and the presiding officer, which is the one that's looking out, charged for looking out for all the districts, cannot make that decision. They're denied that ability to make that decision, and it's left to the majority for that. So the presiding officer, again, you're removing what limited authority they have to make those decisions. So yeah, we're removing what little authority there is, we're removing a little bit more of that from the presiding officer. Councilman Tackett.
Yeah, just back to Janet, just to make sure we clarify. So if we got whatever Wawa up to speak, the presiding officer could say, I allow the time to be deferred. And then next week, get up Royal Farms, and the presiding officer says, I'm not going to allow it. You know, it's still the way the rule's written here, case by case.
Right, but so is it.
So what we're moving now is to say the majority of council would have to agree that this is the fair way to proceed. So
it's,
we're adding six more
subjective
people with it.
Which is part of my problem, I guess.
Councilman Smiley, I believe you were, and then Councilman
yeah,
Bell.
I have an inquiry for council to council. She's back in time, so I'll yield to Councilman Cartier.
Councilman Cartier, then Councilman Bell, then Councilman Cartier,
oh, sorry,
please.
Fine. I think that, you know, you can look at all the different points made, and I have to share in a concern that Councilwoman Kilpatrick has brought up, that I think there should be a limit. And I'm not sure sometimes that 3 minutes is enough time for someone to present something that has prepared it, and in some cases maybe it is 5 minutes. But the problem that I have is that the chair of the meeting should have the flexibility, okay, to make a decision. And I don't think that if we find that's abused, then we need to change it. But I don't think it should be open-ended to say that I'm passing my time on. I think there should be a time limit, but I'm not sure that having counsel to vote each time we go to make that type decision, whether somebody should be granted the courtesy to allow them an extra minute or so, I don't know that that's necessary. I think you gotta, you know, we've got to look to the chair, the president, counsel to the chair. We got to rely on the presiding officer, but we also are the checks and balances. And if we find that it's being abused, then we turn around and we change those checks and balances. But I don't agree the way it is now that folks can just pass on their time. But I don't think that we have to vote each time on that to say whether somebody in our districts can speak for it.
Thank you. Councilman Carter.
Yes, and I just want to kind of restate what I said earlier, maybe with a little emphasis change. But, you know, land use, to echo Councilman Weiner's point, is very complicated. And there are many places in this county where there's huge controversy. I've had that issue in my district, and I can tell you that, you know, just because this particular group of constituents was exceedingly clever, they figured out how they could, you know, kind of stack a meeting, get time for an expert, and give their best shot at a rezoning hearing, whereas in all my time here, that opportunity has never been afforded to these other folks, the people I represent, with equal controversy, equal problems. I think whatever we do here, we need to get a handle on this, and I'm not comfortable with that exceptionalism that occurred in my 8 years that I've been here. It's always been 3 minutes, the light goes, you got your three, you're out of there. Suddenly, we had this one situation, and they're afforded, and granted, you know, I permitted, I said nothing, but they were clever, they knew what they were doing, and that's, to me, I'm troubled by that. That's not fair. We need to define this policy. I think Councilman Tackett has put together a proposal that has some merit to it. You know, if it doesn't work, we can always change it, but, you know, believe me, there's controversy in land use all over this county, just not Barley Mill.
I think that's a point we can all agree on. Councilman Hollins?
I think perhaps Councilman Bell may have pretty much crystallized the issue here. In my mind, the issue is, you know, we could set a time limit, as Councilman Tackett suggested, and you would have the option to give them more time. The real issue here is what happened. Folks coming and standing up saying, I'm going to yield the rest of my time to whomever. I think that becomes the problem. So a person speaking for 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, okay, we make that decision. You, within reason, have the ability to, and no one's trying to take that away from you. What we're really trying to stop here is what happened, because a number of us don't think it's the right way to go. So if we just eliminate that particular process that got started with Barley Mill, we don't need a Barley Mill rule here going forward.
Councilman, might I propose then, if that is the interest of the folks that are in favor of a rule change, might we just specify that, you know, unless voted by a majority of council or whatever the proposers would want, you cannot cede your time to another speaker, and just make it leave the rest of the rule as it is, and just put a prohibition saying you can't cede your time.
I think that's the issue.
That's the point. Yeah.
I mean, just make it simple, and Councilman Tack.
Yeah, in a sense, it is simple. The rules goes back to originally says you cannot secede your time. You get 3 minutes per speaker, and what it does is doesn't set that in stone as the 11th commandment. What it's doing is it's saying unless council votes to change it, you know, you're going to get 3 minutes just like everybody else, and that's the rule.
It actually doesn't speak to ceding time or not ceding time. If we wanted to make sure that we didn't cede time, I would suggest that we put a rule in place saying you can't cede time and keep it just pinpoint and narrow and focused on, like a laser, on that particular issue.
Yeah.
And that would seem to make, and if that's the will of council, then that's the will of council, and it seems to would take some of the ambiguity out, and whether we're taking power away or not taking power away, we're just setting a rule saying, hey, by the way, in our rules says you cannot cede your time. Period. You know, that might be my suggestion to kind of resolve some of the back and forth that we're having here. Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilwoman Dillon.
And I think I would be more comfortable with that, because what difference does it make if you concede time, but you don't know until you get to the floor? That makes no sense to me at all. I would much rather go with something that's more clear that says you cannot cede time, period. If the president and the majority of council would choose to give somebody an extra 5 minutes or an extra 10 minutes, and we vote on that, and the majority thinks that it's fine, so be it. But I have to say that I'm with the president, and I think that it just needs to be more simple. Like, there's no ceding of time, period. Cut and dried. Who can question that?
Councilwoman Dillon?
I'm not sure I have a big problem with the ceding of time. I personally don't.
Yeah.
But if people feel strongly about it, I think that's a much better way to go, and just have a clear statement about it, because then people don't come in prepared to do it. I mean, or if you call, you say, well, no, we're not going to go through a whole discussion and then vote whether you can do it or not. The answer is no. I mean, I think just having some clarity helps here.
Councilman's Violet, you've been on hold.
Our timing's been off throughout this meeting. I have another one that I needed you present for, please. Here's my concern. And I would just soon have something that says there's no ceding of time, because the interpretation that once we vote that it's for the time of the meeting, I want to hear everything that there is to be said on an issue. What I don't want, and call me what you will, I believe there are people out there that would do this, what I don't want, because it would be for the term of the meeting, and unless I'm wrong, tell me, is to have someone come in and stack up 10 people to yield their time so they can take 30 minutes at the end of the meeting at public comment to talk about whatever they wanted to us. Because it would go that far, am I correct?
Conceivably, yes.
Yeah, and that's my concern. We're looking at it on the terms of being able to hear the information on an issue that's before us that night. But it would actually, I'm thinking it would go further than that.
If
I may, Carol Dolan, Council to Council, with apologies for stepping out of the room, but every time you all bring up a point, I'm going back to research something. So in this instance, I was looking this up, and I think President Pro Tem Hollins will recall this, and our Clerk of Council. We didn't have a time limit previously. That was added subsequent to my departure. What it said in the previous rules, and when, again, this... I just wanted to bring this up. Every member desirous of speaking shall respectfully address the presiding officer. His or her remarks shall be confined to the subject before council. So therefore, they would not be permitted to bring that up at a different time. They have to speak to that subject. Remarks may be limited by the president to a specific time frame. If there were two speakers in the past, and again, that was pre the time that I left, they might let them each have 4 minutes, for example. But they were different sorts of issues, and that preceded this time frame. But again, the three-minute rule, as it's written, is something that was adopted by council in 2010. And I'm sorry, just to interject, I presume that was done, again, to establish equity among these speakers.
2010. Well, we've had a thorough discussion among council members. Any comments from members of the public?
That's
any additional comments?
Sure, no.
Pleasure of Councilman Tackett?
I'll just add to any rule in that rule book can be suspended at any given time by 7 members. Even where we say it takes the supermajority on the council rules, like for the termination of an employee or anything like that, as soon as any council member calls for the suspension of the rules, if 6 agree with them, the rules are out the window. And they can proceed then, you know, to follow, obviously, Robert's rules, but they can then proceed to go ahead and do as the majority wants to do. I think I've heard you know, from the majority of you somewhat that you don't like the seceding of time. I didn't want to totally get rid of it. I thought if it was something that, you know, could lend itself to it and it's something that, you know, we agreed to and the situation was going to allow it, that was our decision on whether to do it or not. If, you know, I've heard concerns, you know, from down here that, you know, I've got concerns over, you know, this, we don't want to secede time. We want to give this individual speaker more time. Let's do it. So, if, you know, the will of council's, you know, the will of council. So I certainly have no problem taking the rule change back. And I intended to, you know, bring this for you. Let's vote on it tonight. I thought this was clear. I left it in there. It did set the rule as saying you only have 3 minutes unless the majority of council would agree to, you know, suspend the 3 minutes and allow the deferring of the time for that debate and not just leave it up to, as the rule says, the presiding chair. But if the majority of council feels concerned that, you know, with the rule change, which gives the public more, treats them more fairly, we'll go back and just say no deferring of time. We'll bring it back then if that's what the majority felt like they wanted.
Thank you, Councilman Tyke. Councilman Cartier?
You know, the other perspective is that we receive testimony not purely on land use matters. Someone comes in the end of a meeting, the postal workers come in, they have an appeal to council that they would like to take 5 minutes to talk to us about the threatened closure of Hare's Corner. I mean, we have to have some discretion to allow certain issues of public moment and crisis to be presented to us in some kind of way. Otherwise, you know, you're putting an iron-bound rule on people. Some discretion is necessary. And just one last thing, the three-minute rule to me, your council saying it was only adopted formally in 2010 was a practice since I arrived here. I'd have to defer to Councilman Hollins on that issue, but now I'm really confused about all that, frankly.
It's probably when we got to late.
Previous to that, we had a member of civil council. So.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
I stand accused, tried, and convicted.
Good answer.
Councilman Hollins, are you done?
I'm
Councilman
Smiley.
I don't want to confuse things, Matt, but I think we're looking at two different issues. One is the latitude to allow someone who's already speaking to continue to fulfill their thoughts in council, and the other is someone getting up just to cede their time to someone else to accrue time. To me, that's two completely different issues.
Well, Councilman Tackett, I appreciate your willingness to adopt the change to be more specific to the ceding of the time issue, if that's your desire.
So what am I hearing? The council does not want to allow the seceding of time, but they would like to allow each individual member to be allotted in more time?
No.
Councilwoman Diller?
I have to admit, now that we're, you know, one of the things that happens in discussions is that, you know, when you're reading something, you've got your own view, and when you're in a discussion with people, you know, I feel like I have more to think about now than to vote on this. That's just my...
I think Councilman Tackett said he was going to take this back and maybe propose another more specific rule change and do so, I think, in the spirit that we've been doing it, putting out the rule change in advance and then vote on it after we've all seen the rule change and published that rule change. Councilman Tackett.
Well, I wanted to hear some more discussion from council because I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, council could, you know, I don't know, I'll just use you two because it's up there, but we could like a Bob Weiner and say, yeah, let's vote to give him 15 minutes, but we don't like a Tom Kovac and we want you to only have three. So
you like a Bob Weiner, don't like a Tom.
That's why I figured I'd pick the two buddies up there and then.
I hope we don't get our medicines mixed up.
Councilman Smiley.
I have. And this will be it for me. I have two thoughts on the process. One is, the rules say there's no ceding of time. The other is, in order to maintain some semblance of control, that the ceding of time shall be allowed to a maximum of 15 minutes or something, that there's a time limit on it. So I'm at the opposite end there. But to have it open-ended is the concern for me.
Seems like something to consider, certainly.
Well, I throw it out for the sponsor to look at, whatever. That's just
Councilman Weiner.
Councilman Smiley, I happen to like your idea. And
him and I switch your medicine?
Oh. Just like to speak in support of it, I think it would be a good balance because a lot of times in issues particularly complicated, we shouldn't leave it open-ended for everyone to stack without limitation student of time. But if you've got a sophisticated attorney presenting a complicated land use issue going on for 30 minutes, then to allow the most well-spoken advocate for the community 15 minutes maximum of seating time to address it seems to me to be a good balance.
Council to council.
Carol Dolan, council to council. I apologize once again. I was researching while you were discussing part of this. But if you're talking about ceding time, to whom are you exceeding to time? To how many people are you ceding time? And how do you make that determination? And I raise those issues because, again, that gets you in the treacherous area of determining whose point of view you might support or not support. And who is speaking and who you think is the most persuasive speaker. If you're deciding, for instance, that because a person is an attorney representing that, then there's a value judgment made on that speaker that I think you would have to have very specific parameters. Perhaps no more than 10 minutes total could be seated per meeting. But then that would also mean whoever lines up first could be the first speaker. You're treading in dangerous waters.
Thank you, and I think some of that is very good to throw out, but also let's keep in mind when we're talking about giving somebody a maximum amount of time, you can only cede to a certain person 15 minutes. Again, not saying that's the rule or the proposal. If we went that way, then that person would only have 15 minutes. It's up to the person ceding the time, not the council, to designate who that person. It's their time. It's their. They came out to the meeting. They showed up. They can either speak to what somebody else prepared for them, or they can cede their time for somebody else to talk. So again, if we want to put a limit on that, because in council's majority viewpoint, we don't want to encourage a meeting that would get out of hand and have hours of seated time, then we could put a time frame on whoever is granted that seated time, they would have a maximum amount of a certain amount of time to speak. Again, council isn't prescribing that seating. It's the individual person who has that time that's giving their opportunity up to somebody else to speak. That would seem to be a reasonable, again, I'm not proposing it, supporting it, objecting to it since we're discussing it. It seems like a point of discussion. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I concur with both Councilman Smiley and Council President. It seems to me that if you have a leader of a particular group, CRG or SOC or whatever it is, in that particular instance, rather than one speechwriter writing a speech for five different speakers, I'd rather hear one speaker present the point succinctly, and then when we as a council ask the questions of that speaker, we're asking someone that can really answer our questions rather than someone simply miming 3 minutes of that speaker's speech where we can't really interact and get a perspective on it because that person is simply miming what the speaker wrote.
Well, that sounds like a debate on a slightly different, more focused rule, maybe for 2 weeks from now. Councilman Hollins?
I agree with council to council. I think that we're getting into an area here where it's going to be very problematic to manage. I don't think it's a necessary step. I think when someone is an applicant, that there's some deference to someone who's gone through our process, as opposed to having someone, quote-unquote, expert, who's also an attorney that's receiving all of this time and perhaps being paid as well to come before us. I think that we should know what the rules are and make a final decision without that. I just don't see a place for this whole idea of seating at all, how it fits to make the process any better. I think that what we're doing here, you're going to have applicant's attorney presenting the application. You're going to have someone opposed to the application that's there because it's got this seating thing going on now. That I just don't think that that's the fair way to go. And I think it's a very complicated process without very specific parameters. And I think that's overburdensome to try to make that work. And I just don't see a real benefit. I don't see a real benefit to that in all the years I've been here. And this did happen once, and we all went along with it, but I don't think it's the right model for the future. I just really don't.
Again, speaking to Councilman Holland's point, if we want to propose a rule that doesn't allow this seating, I think we need to reformulate it. Certainly Councilman Tackett can seek a vote on his rule change tonight if he so desires, or go back and refocus the rule just on this seating issue. Then we can have a further discussion to see if a rule can be worked up that would pinpoint on seating and provide a limit or not. So I think that's where I sense we're going as a body, that this would carry over to a refined rule change. Councilman Tackett, it's at your pleasure.
Great. The discussion I've heard now is really kind of scary. I think we've treaded into some very murky waters already. To say that we want more than 3 minutes to get our answers answered from, people coming up, we already have that now. We don't limit them to 3 minutes for us asking them questions. So that's never been the norm. And if you have questions to ask, they need to be coming, if you've got technical questions, they need to be coming from our council, they need to be coming from our land use, or the applicant. You can ask the public when they get up there certain questions, but that's where the majority of it's going to come from. This rule change, and actually I am going to pull this for a vote, this rule change is clear and concise. It sets the standard to say everybody gets 3 minutes. It's clear. For us to say you can't succeed the time and now, somebody could get 15 minutes or somebody could get 20 minutes, but, now the next person can't, we're really bogging it down and complicating something that we didn't have an issue before with. It's just an area that we seem to enter into that basically this is going back to it. And even if you do enter into it to say you can't succeed time, again, if the one person thinks you should be allowed to see time and six people agree with them, you suspend the rules and you give them as much time as they want, so you're still in it. This just sets it more clear and concise.
Well, I think I heard in there a call for a vote. Did I have a second on that?
Mm-hmm. Second.
All right. We've had a call for the vote, and let's do this by roll call so we're a little bit more clear. We'll go around the table. Councilman Smiley, you're first.
Not voting.
Okay. Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
I guess I'm going to have to vote no. I just have problems with the duration of the meeting.
Okay. Councilman Sheldon?
Yes.
Councilman Tackett?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
I'm going to have to vote no at this time. I think that we need a standard for transparency, but I think this still needs a little bit more work on it.
Thank you. Councilman Hollins?
Yes.
Councilman Cardia?
Yes.
Councilwoman Diller?
No, for a similar reason as Councilman Bell.
Councilman Weiner?
No, because the point that I was making is not that 3 minutes can't be exceeded by questions. It's the fact that someone representing the community can't possibly develop and address all the points of an attorney in 3 minutes, such that we could even consider all the permutations of arguments to look at it from a contrary point of view with just hearing from that person in 3 minutes. So I'm voting no.
Thank you. I'm voting no as well. The motion does not carry and the rule is not amended. All right, moving on to 6, public comment. Any member of the public have any comments for the good of the order? Moving on to other. Other?
Yes. I have council's attention for a moment. We had a really nice student government day. I will tell you, this was the most active, involved, and grilling group of students, I think, that have been here since I've come. But where I'm going with this is, following the student government day, one of the students came up and asked to meet with me in my office. And he requested an internship with me. I explained to him that wasn't where I wanted to go. I explained to him what my feelings were and suggested to him, if he was truly looking to learn about county government and be involved, that I would meet with the clerk of council and council about him serving as an intern on behalf of all of council and work through the clerk of council so he can learn special services, community services, land use, finance, whatever. So I did speak with Betsy, and I passed along the information I don't want to speak for you, but I thought you thought that that was a good idea. So what I'm seeking here today, I guess, and the gentleman's from the Townsend area. His name's Michael Scott. He's with the, I guess he studies military history on. But I would ask council's approval to allow Betsy to coordinate for this young man to serve an internship on behalf of all of council.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. And unfortunately, the last intern that we had that was going to prepare some intern guidelines did not complete their internship. So, Ms. Gardner?
Is this through, the end of the school year for this?
I really didn't. He spoke more of during the summer months.
Okay.
But I really didn't get.
I was just curious. We're running out.
Get in. No, he spoke more of in the term of during the summer months.
Okay. Councilman Tackett?
Just a couple concerns. We did this when the first intern come up. I think we need to just probably figure out how we're going to do this, you know, or how many interns are we going to have? How long is it going to last? Where are they going to come from? Is it only one? And because that one individual grabbed the council member who quick brings it for a vote here, you know, they got in. Are we going to go out there and reach out, let the public know, you know, or something? We're going to have two interns, three interns, or not? How long is it going to last? We're going to pay for any parking or not? Is there going to be anything? You know, I mean, there should be something that a little bit more than just somebody grabs somebody and now we're bringing it for a quick vote.
Councilwoman Diller?
I think the reality of this, I think there are some parameters we need to talk about, but the reality is that if people take the initiative to come to you, you know, you can't, unless you can do this, which would be very cool. I mean, you can't pull interns out of the hat, you know. And so I don't think we will ever know that, you know, if we had 13 interns, that would be really nice. But I think if it captures someone's imagination that they want to come and give some time, and we can work this out. And I think it's a good thing if Betsy can work with that person and sort of, you know, if we have projects. But I don't think we should turn somebody down. And the other thing is that oftentimes these folks have different requirements for what an internship is based on what their school is. And so I just don't think we can make so many rules that we can't ever have someone come in and do this.
Oh, no. I don't either. I just think we need to try to figure out what we're doing with it and how.
If I may, yeah. I've raised the issue. Well, I've Betsy contact the intern.
Yeah.
And I'll take this where the boats and RVs are. If someone has time and the interest, draft some rules and bring it back. This young man, fortunately, who I spoke with, has his own car, has a membership at the Y, and that's where he plans on parking and walking down. But again, I didn't solicit. The gentleman is not even out of my district.
I mean, quite frankly, at the end of the day, I think each council member is free to, you know, within their limitations, utilize volunteers in their community to the extent that they would like to do that.
I'm sure I probably could have just had him come in and follow me around, walk with me, and work in my office and everything else, and not said a word, but it's not the way I work. And I thought it would be more beneficial to all, no, forget all of council. I think it would be more beneficial for this young man to get a more rounded experience of council.
I do agree with Dave that I think that if we do have an intern, you know, that we do have some idea, you know, as to how you're going to do an orientation for them. I mean, I think there are some things that are just, you know, we should just do a standard practice.
Good call. We should have an apprenticeship program. Yeah, maybe it'd be more exactly. Malleable.
Yeah. And are they covered under insurance here? Well, I mean, if they fall in the hall, I don't know. And Betsy, we used to have them before, I think. They probably just need to go back to what that was.
All right. Yeah, we did get opinions from council on that before. Councilwoman.
And I think we went through this the last time, that it probably is to our benefit just to have a policy.
Policy. Yeah.
And in closing, just let me clarify. I did not tell the gentleman yes. I did not tell him no. I encouraged him for his interest and told him I would pass it on for review and someone would be in touch with him. I didn't take for granted that council would agree. Well,
let's get that summer intern to devise that summer intern policy, and then we'll be all set.
Does he have to do it before he comes in?
No.
Ms. Clerk, please.
Betsy Gardner, Clerk of Council. I just wanted to say our previous program was through the University of Delaware, and that was a contract situation where we paid for a legislative fund.
Right.
And that's
right,
really
right.
Yeah, and that we had rules and we had all that.
I made it clear he's not getting any money. He might get an occasional lunch.
Someone mentioned, one of you mentioned that we had a previous program. Through U of D, it did pay their parking, it was a contract, it was a whole different.
Where's the sniper friend?
Yeah, really.
Again, this appreciate Councilman Smiley bringing this up. He said he's gonna. We'll look into it further. If any council member so desires, we could put this on the agenda for the next meeting and really discuss this and come up with a policy and take the lead on this. It almost sounds like a good personnel committee assignment.
Oh, that's so evil.
That's so evil.
So good. All right. Seeing any other, anyone have any other? Seeing none.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.